This is the Black and Blue Report presented by ABC Insurance Agencies, a better choice for insurance. Now from Studio B, or wherever the Saints or Pelicans might be, here's Sean Kelly.
Hi again, everybody, and happy game day, too. I'm Sean Kelly. Welcome into the Black and Blue Report. It's finally here, the regular season opener for the New Orleans Saints, and it comes on a Monday. Perfect, because this is the start of our new week on the Black and Blue Report. Greetings from the Asher Sports Performance Center on Airline Drive in Metairie. Studio B is the site of our podcast today, and we've lined up three fantastic guests to preview tonight's football game between the Saints and the Minnesota Vikings. First up, it'll be Lisa Salters on the sideline tonight for ESPN's Monday Night Football television broadcast. She'll be on, of course, with Sean McDonough and John Gruden. We'll hear from tonight's national radio play-by-play man, Ian Eagle. He'll be broadcasting across all of the Westwood One affiliates nationwide of tonight's kickoff. And then we'll take you right to Minneapolis, where John DeShazer is on the ground with the Saints and preparing for tonight's ball game. Plenty of coverage on NewOrleansSaints.com as well, including a pregame Facebook Live broadcast from JD. JD and his team will be on social media throughout the game tonight, and more details to come from John later on in our podcast. I will note that tonight, following the game on NewOrleansSaints.com, it's our first New Orleans Saints postgame show that comes from our studio across the parking lot here and takes you to the game site following what we hope. What we hope is the Saints win tonight. So I know it's been a long wait, everybody. It's always a long wait just to get to the first weekend of the regular season, but here everyone has had to endure the full weekend before finally getting to see the Saints on the field tonight after what was kind of an interesting weekend in the NFL. Ian Eagle will look at a couple of his notes from the last couple of days, and they only speak of Sunday and last Thursday as far as what we've seen so far in week one. But certainly I think some things we believed were going to happen did so, and then there were a few surprises, and Ian will talk about that. As far as the division goes, the NFC South, obviously we did not get to see Tampa Bay play. Our thoughts and prayers with everyone in Florida. The whole state has been affected, and now that's moving north, and I think our friends in Georgia and other spots are going to have effects of that. Anything north of I-10 to have those effects today. I can't believe there's going to be a tropical storm warning, by the way, in the city of Atlanta. That just seems strange, but it could be a little dicey around Atlanta. By the way, where they're celebrating a squeaker of a win for the Falcons, probably should have lost yesterday at Chicago, but I got it done, and it says 1-0 next to the Falcons' name in the standings right now. And then Carolina, Cam's arm looked okay by me, and Cam Newton and the Panthers also taking care of business yesterday. All right, so with that, let's go ahead and take our first break. I do not want to wait any longer until we get to our all-star lineup here today, previewing Game 1 tonight. Stay with us. Lisa Salters, ESPN, Ian Eagle of Westwood One and CBS, and our own John DeShazer. We'll come in your way in just a moment.
If you don't want to miss out on any of the action, get connected with your New Orleans Pelicans 24/7, 365. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter for exclusive prizes and giveaways. Plus text with all the latest breaking news right on your phone with Pelicans mobile alerts. Visit Pelicans.com for information on these great features. Plus sign up for Pelicans Insider with weekly updates from the Pelicans. Join the conversation today.
It's Saints game day. This is the Black and Blue Report.
Welcome back. Later on tonight, obviously, Monday Night Football, a doubleheader. It gets kicked off with the Saints and the Minnesota Vikings. Our very special guest here on the Black and Blue Report is Lisa Salters. She'll be working the sidelines, reporting for a crew that includes, of course, Sean McDonough and John Gruden as they begin their new season of Monday Night Football on ESPN. And as I welcome Lisa in, our conversation is recorded on Friday, but obviously we're airing it today on game day. First of all, Lisa, thank you so much for joining us. I know it's a very busy time for you and your crew, but we're excited to have you guys on the call tonight for the Saints and Vikings.
Thanks. It's going to be a good one. I'm just watching the the NFL kickoff on Thursday between the Chiefs and the Patriots. It just gets your juices flowing. You're like, yes, football is back, and this game is going to be just as great. I hope it is, anyway.
I agree. On Thursday night, the game started, and the way it started, I thought, well, here's a real clunker for the first game of the season, and it turned out to be fantastic.
Yeah, I actually went to sleep on it. I have a four-year-old that I've got to get up into preschool in the morning, so I think I watched through the middle of the third quarter, and I thought, you know, the Chiefs are playing well, but somehow the Patriots are going to be the Patriots, and they're going to win. I think I saw that in February in the Super Bowl, right?
Yes.
So, I was pretty shocked this morning when I woke up and saw the highlights and thought, wow, how about the Chiefs?
Lisa Salters, by the way, not only covers the NFL, she's also worked on NBA coverage with the ABC and ESPN. Her breadth of work also flows over to the news side very smoothly. And Lisa, you've been doing this a long time. I generally ask this question to the players at the start of a season, but I'll ask you as a broadcaster, anything you'll do differently this year is a part of your growth process, even as long as you've been doing this?
Well, you know, Sean, every year is different. And for me, the NFL is, you know, this is my sixth year doing it. But it's honestly, I do feel like a player in some respects, that you just feel more and more comfortable each year that you do it. You know, some things just become, you know, instinct for you. Whereas, you know, year one, year two, I felt like, you know, it's kind of a grind. I'm really like prepping for a final exam every week, and it's really work. Now, as I've gotten to, you know, year three, four, five, and this is year number six, this is the most comfortable. I thought last year I felt pretty comfortable. This now feels even more comfortable. My preparation routine is down. Like I said, I have a toddler, and he's not a baby anymore, so now I can even study while he's sitting there watching The Lion King. I can be going through my notes. So everything's just a lot easier now. It's coming more naturally. It's always been fun, but even more so now. It's just, like I said, I can't wait for the game tonight.
Oh, when you prep for this game and get those conversations with the two head coaches, Lisa, in particular for this game, what are some of the things that you want to ask Coach Payton and Coach Zimmer going into their openers?
Well, I think the big question that everyone's going to want answered is, how will Sean Payton use Adrian Peterson in the Saints offense? We might want to overthink that a little bit, because let's face it, Adrian Peterson, he isn't even the number one back for you guys. He is playing behind Mark Ingram. And also, you've got this rookie, Alvin Kamara, that John Gruden absolutely loves. He's calling this guy like the next, you know, Reggie Bush, you know, Darren Sproles type of just, you know, really exciting back. But all eyes are, of course, going to be on Adrian. And this isn't, you know, Adrian Peterson definitely was the man in Minnesota, but this is Drew Brees' show in New Orleans, and this is a passing attack. So how is Sean Payton going to manage that? He's got Adrian Peterson, who is certainly, you know, a dynamic back looking to prove that he's still got something left in the tank. Already have Mark Ingram. You've got this other rookie coming out, and Alvin Kamara wants to show what he can do. So are we going to see a different Saints attack? Are you going to run a little bit more than you did before? Or are you still going to put the ball in the hands of Drew Brees and let Drew Brees be Drew Brees? So that would be the question that I think that we want to know from Sean Payton. For Mike Zimmer, I think it's probably going to be more of, you know, everyone wants to know, you know, who's going to, you know, is Dalvin Cook going to live up to, you know, to fill Adrian Peterson's shoes? But also, for me, I'm interested in finding out just how comfortable Sam Bradford is now in this Vikings offense. He admitted that last year, even through the 15 games that he played, he just had a very basic level of understanding of the offense. So imagine that, like, your starting quarterback is just, and it wasn't his fault. He just got to the team a week before the season started, right? So, you know, for him to go through an entire offseason now and OTAs and mini camps and all of that, this year two for him must seem like night and day. So, you know, we really just want to see how comfortable Sam Bradford is in the offense. And he did set an NFL record for completion percentage last year. That was all the while not being all that comfortable in the offense. So, you know, I'm assuming that they're going to be expecting big things from him now that he's had an offseason with it under his belt.
Interesting. Lisa, have you done a game at Minnesota in the new stadium?
Yes, we did one game there last year. Beautiful, beautiful building. It's got to jump to the top of your list for best stadium. It's just absolutely gorgeous. Have you been there?
I have not. And interestingly enough, the sights are great. And it looks fantastic, but it's the sound inside the stadium that is on the minds of a lot of the Saints here as they get ready for the Monday night game. Is it as loud as advertised?
To me, you know, I never can tell the difference between, and maybe it's because I'm not on the field playing, but to me, all stadiums sound the same. And I know that may sound silly to say, but, you know, people talk about, you know, the Seahawks stadium and, oh, it's going to be so loud, you're going to have to wear earplugs. To me, it sounds the same. So being in Minnesota last year in the new stadium, it's a gorgeous facility, especially when they open up those huge kind of sliding glass doors, almost those glass doors. It didn't seem any different, but I guess the players would be better suited to answer that question.
Fair. I'm really excited to see a top five offense go against a top five defense. And you had touched upon the dynamic of a Drew Brees offense under Sean Payton. That defense for Minnesota, what is there something that sets it apart than maybe the other more elite defenses in the NFL?
Oh, well, John Gruden calls it the Purple Rain, and they're led by that line. It's those, you know, those linemen, that pass rush, you know, Robeson, Griffin, Danielle Hunter, Linval Joseph, those guys just get after you. They, and I think that really is what sets them apart, is just that D-line and how – and when those guys come into our production meetings, they are just like chiseled specimens, and they're just like sculpted for greatness. And so I would say that the line really sets them apart.
Wow. I think that there's a real test there for that Saints offensive line to keep Drew Brees upright. Lisa, you know, obviously –
and they're vulnerable right now as well. You have a rookie – is it at left tackle? Rookie at left tackle, right?
Yeah, left tackle. Yeah,
rookie,
no doubt.
Rookie left tackle, backup center. So, yeah, that would be, I guess, my number one concern if I were a Saints fan, is just how, you know, the line is gonna hold up.
Yeah.
I really wouldn't be concerned about Adrian Peterson as much as I would be about that offensive line.
Agreed. Thankfully, it looks like Max Unger will go the starting center. So that will help against a defense that loves to crash the A-gap. So that, knock on wood, will hold true for the Monday night matchup. Lisa, not often do we have a story about a long snapper going into the season opener, but it's almost kind of a secondary storyline, but certainly a primary concern, is the story surrounding John Darrenbos that broke on Friday with regards to his aortic aneurysm, and hopefully that gets cleaned up and fixed ASAP. But is that a story that you feel like, as a reporter for the game, you'll have to handle, and how do you do so? What's your philosophy on that?
Well, it could be handled a couple of ways. Like I could talk about it on the field and do a report from the sideline, or more than likely, I'm going to guess that it would be Sean McDonough would handle it from the booth, just because, you know, we are talking about a long snapper, and yes, this is a very, you know, a very serious condition. We hope he's going to be okay. He should be okay after he has surgery. But like you said, we don't spend a whole lot of time talking about a long snapper. But John Darrenbos, he's not just your average long snapper. I mean, he's so well-liked, so well-regarded by players and coaches and by media crews like us. We actually had John into our production meeting. First time ever, we requested a long snapper come into our prep meetings. Before a game, you know, we asked for the quarterback, we asked for the running back, we asked for a star player on defense, you know, people like that who are going to have huge impacts in the game. We asked for John Darrenbos to come in to our room last year when he was with the Eagles, a game that we were doing in Philadelphia, because he's so entertaining, such a nice guy. He had just come off of his run on whatever the talent show is called, if it's America's Got Talent. I'm not sure if that was a show or not, but that was incredibly unique to watch him perform on television. And then he came into our room and did some magic tricks for us in our room. Just such a great guy, always happy, always talks to me on the sidelines. He's just, you know, full of stories. So it was really horrible to hear that, you know, this was happening to him. But also, it was great to hear that, the doctors have probably saved his life by catching this so that they can get it taken care of. And he'll be fine.
Yeah, no, our prayers are with him and, of course, his lovely wife. Lisa Salters is with us. Lisa, as a part of the season-opening doubleheader of Monday Night Football on ESPN tonight, following you will be Beth Mowins in the play-by-play chair of Game 2. I really would love to hear what your reaction to that news was and what you think about her getting that role for tonight's doubleheader.
I think when I first heard, my initial reaction was, wow, that's fantastic. That's just great for her. It's great for women who cover sports. It's just more, not that we necessarily need it or are looking for validation, but it is more validation that, yes, we can cover this game. We work as hard. We're just as knowledgeable as everybody else who does it. So very well deserved for Beth. But at the same time, I did think, there's no reason for us to talk about it, though. You know, Beth is going to be calling the game. We don't have to make a big deal about it. I'm sure she doesn't want you to make a big deal about it. Just let her go and do the game like everybody else. So we don't need to talk about it again. You know, Beth Mowins is calling this game. She deserves to call this game. She's going to be great. We all know that. And, it's just another milestone, an historic milestone, and very proud of Beth.
Well said. Well said. Lisa, as always, we thank you for the visit. We always pick up something great from you, and we'll look to do the same as we listen for you on television tonight as well. Here's to a great season for you guys, and I hope that you get a good one tonight.
Thank you. Likewise for you and your Saints.
All right, thank you. Lisa Salters, ESPN, Monday Night Football. Tonight, Saints and Vikings start that doubleheader. Everything you need to know about your New Orleans Pelicans is right in the palm of your hands. The New Orleans Pelicans app is easy to use, plus makes an excellent companion whether you're watching the team in the Smoothie King Center or on the road. Recently added features on the app include the latest videos and highlights, plus access to a full list of arena amenities. Download the Pelicans app for free now on your iPhone or Android devices. For more information, check out pelicans.com today.
Hi, it's Mark Romig. When I'm not announcing Touchdown Saints, I'm listening to the Black and Blue Report.
Saints and Vikings tonight in Minneapolis. On the radio call for a national audience is Ian Eagle. He'll be with Westwood One tonight. Of course, you know his work from CBS, the NBA on TNT. And, of course, we talk to him from time and time again when he is covering the Brooklyn Nets as it pertains to the New Orleans Pelicans. But he has a front row seat for tonight's opener for the black and gold. Ian, first of all, thanks for your time today. I know it's a busy game day. I do want you to know that you are the first network-level play-by-play man of the season for us here on our little podcast.
Ooh, that, you know what? That's emotional. That just brought a little moisture to my left eye. My right eye, I'm not as moved, but my left eye, I'm very moved by that statement. Thank you.
It's pretty much a one-eye, intro. Pretty much. Yes.
It is. You're right, Sean, and I've come to realize that.
Good to talk to you as we begin the NFL season. First of all, by the way, your takeaways from what we've seen so far in week one across the league. Did anything jump out at you over the last couple of days?
Yeah, it's always interesting because week one, there's a sense of mystery, and you're a little unsettled because the preseason doesn't reveal all that much. Everyone's going vanilla. Offenses are not exotic. Defenses, they basically play their base defense. We see starters play a series here, a series there. So it's difficult to gather data from the preseason and try to see if it's going to transfer over to the regular season. You're basically going off of what you saw in the offseason and looking at a team on paper and trying to visualize what kind of success they'll have. Certain things were confirmed for me. I think the Oakland Raiders are going to be an excellent football team coming out of the AFC. I think they have a legitimate shot to represent the AFC West in the playoff picture and beyond. and nothing changed with their performance in Tennessee. That was a high-quality win in week one because I think the Titans are improved. I think Tennessee is ready to take the next step. The NFC picture, the one thing that really struck me is that Carson Wentz is the real deal, and Philadelphia has a reason to be excited, and I think this guy's going to have a high-level career. I was impressed with him last year, stepping in as a rookie, and played beyond his years, and I think he's just going to keep getting better. So the Eagles, they might have a little something in that division where maybe other teams were getting bigger headlines. I think Philly's going to surprise some people this year.
That'll make their fan base happy, as it's hard to do with them.
Short-lived happiness. I think you have to keep that in mind with Philadelphia.
What about disasters around the league? Obviously, we kind of knew the Jets would be what they would be, but were there any other traffic accidents that you didn't necessarily anticipate?
Well, the game I worked was the Rams and the Colts, and I'm not really sure what to take away from it. Obviously, the Rams looked a lot better than the team that we saw last year when Jeff Fisher got fired, but is it based on the competition? The Colts were a complete train wreck. Every aspect of their team was exposed. And no Andrew Luck. We know that that's difficult to overcome. They did not make a move at quarterback until late in the preseason when they acquired Jacoby Brissett. I wouldn't be shocked if he starts week two. That's how poor Scott Tolzien was. And the uncertainty around Luck. Nobody knows. There's no specific timetable. They took him off the PUP list, and that means he's allowed to practice, but he hasn't practiced, and he hasn't practiced in a while, going back to last year when he wasn't practicing because of his shoulder issues. Has the surgery in January. The hope at that point was that it would be a six-month process and that he would start throwing the football in July to early August. We are now about to hit mid-September, and he's still not doing that. So big concerns for them. I think there are going to be more changes coming. They turned their roster over, 26 new Colts this year, first-year Colts. And they're just not good enough. Even with Luck in there, their supporting cast is not good enough. Issues on the offensive line once again. And defensively, completely new group, all new faces. One starter from last year's opening weekend was in the mix again this year. One. That's hard to do. So, the Colts are in bad shape. You mentioned the Jets. It's going to be a major struggle. I saw them a lot in the preseason doing their games for the local station in New York. They've made personnel changes. When you make that many changes right before the regular season starts based on waiver wire and trades, that shows you that you're just not comfortable with your roster. And they're not. And those two teams could be looking at a 1-2 or 3-win season unless Luck comes back and just lights up the scoreboard. He'll make them better. He just can't make them markedly better to be competitive in that division.
Ian Eagles with us. He has the call tonight on the national radio broadcast from Westwood One. Ian, tonight in Minneapolis, what kind of a game do you anticipate here between the Saints and the Vikings? What are we in for?
I think a fun one. You're talking about strength against strength on both sides. New Orleans' strength is the offense, and Minnesota's strength is the defense. So if we're looking at it from that perspective, maybe it's going to come down more to the Minnesota offense and the New Orleans defense and see which side has improved from last year to this year. The numbers aren't very good on both sides. The Vikings last year were 28th in total offense. The Saints last year were 27th in total defense. I believe that Minnesota feels like Bradford in this system, working with Pat Shurmur as they had previously, there is going to be some movement in the right direction, that the running game is set up to succeed with Dalvin Cook, who's an electrifying talent. They went out, they signed Latavius Murray. We'll see what kind of role he really plays in this team. I think he understands it's probably going to be more of a backup role if Cook is everything that they advertise. They've got weapons. Diggs is healthy. Thielen has proven to be a legitimate player. Kyle Rudolph and Bradford had excellent chemistry last year. And it's the offensive line for them. They go out, they sign Riley Reiff. They spend a high draft pick on Pat Elflein. They move Joe Berger from center to guard. They go out, they sign Mike Remmers. They did the things necessary to feel as if that group should be better off than it was a year ago. And then defensively for New Orleans, I feel like we ask this question every year. Can the defense do a good enough job to stay in games and give the offense a chance to win? 7-9 is just not going to cut it. Slow starts, not going to cut it. They're 1-9 in their first 3 weeks, the last three seasons. You can't deny those numbers when you continue to put yourself in a hole. And it's not a snap your fingers and make everything okay. Obviously, if Sean Payton and the coaching staff had the answers to the slow starts, it would have been dealt with already. Defensively, they also made changes. And with Manti Te'o now a part of this, and A.J. Klein and Anzalone, new faces like Alex Okafor, my questions will come in the secondary. And I think we were asking the same questions the last couple of years. Those concerns are still there.
Ian, the Adrian Peterson storyline, it's hard for me to be objective because I've been dunked in it here for about a month, and I'm sure the same goes for those in Minnesota. But for you, at the national level, in a more objective sense, is it as sexy as I think it is? Is it as significant as some would make it out to be?
It is. The only caveat I would throw in there is I'm still not quite sure how this is going to play out at the running back position. Mark Ingram's coming off a good year, and while I know Saints fans are excited to see Adrian Peterson, they also decided to go and commit themselves to Alvin Kamara in the third round of the draft, who brings a whole different skill set. So I think the NFL has changed quite a bit where you don't rely on one running back. Only a few teams are in that situation. There are more running back by committees than ever before. And I presume that New Orleans is going to develop that over the course of the season. It might be go with the hot hand, and whoever's got it, whoever's style better suits the game plan against a particular defense. So, yeah, the narrative, Sean, is Adrian Peterson coming back to Minneapolis. The schedule makers knew what they were doing. I still want to see how it all evolves. Because I just don't see Mark Ingram taking a complete back seat in this offense. He's too important, in addition to the fact that he proved to be an excellent receiver last year and was a big part of that aspect of the offense. So how many touches Peterson gets, how effective he is, yeah, that's the other part, too. It's not as if you're getting the Adrian Peterson of a few years ago, 2,000-plus yards. This is an Adrian Peterson that the Minnesota Vikings decided didn't fit what they were trying to do, and he's coming off injury. And I want to see it in person, live, and see whether or not the explosiveness and the Peterson that we know is one that is going to show up for New Orleans now. Forget about the Vikings side of it for a moment. I still am curious to see if Peterson can recapture some of that dominance that he's had in past years.
Well said. It is an interesting watch. So is Dalvin Cook and Kamara, as you said, and all of them. I think I'm ready for the season to start. That's for sure. We're glad to have you on our show here today, Ian, and we look forward to your broadcast tonight. All the best and safe travels, as I know you're crisscrossing the country here in these early weeks.
Yeah, Sean, really excited about it, and I'm not sure you could have picked a better matchup to open up Monday Night Football either. This one is really intriguing, and I think high expectations for both teams, rightfully so. Enough changes during the offseason that both teams should feel good about where they are. Now you actually have to go out and do it.
Ian Eagle, broadcaster, play-by-play announcer. Tonight, Westwood One. Otherwise, you can find him all over the dial and on weekends and Sundays, of course, on CBS. Ian, all the best. Thank you again. Good luck.
All the best, bud.
If you don't want to miss out on any of the action, get connected with your New Orleans Pelicans 24/7, 365. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter for exclusive prizes and giveaways. Plus text with all the latest breaking news right on your phone with Pelicans Mobile Alerts. visit Pelicans.com for information on these great features. Plus, sign up for Pelicans Insider with weekly updates from the Pelicans. Join the conversation today.
Welcome back to the Black and Blue Report. Here's Sean Kelly and John DeShazer.
All right, big thanks again to Ian Eagle and Lisa Salter here on this Monday. We're going to wrap up our Black and Blue Report with a live check-in, if you will, as only one can do on a podcast, with our own John DeShazer from NewOrleansSaints.com. He is in Minneapolis getting set for tonight's season opener. JD, set the scene for us. What does Minneapolis feel like on opening day here for the Minnesota Vikings?
Honestly, we're kind of on the outskirts, so I don't really have a real good vibe for what's happening in the actual city. I would imagine it's pretty vibrant, given that it's a nationally televised Monday night game with one of their local sons pretty much coming home to play, that being Adrian Peterson. And actually, if we think about it a little bit deeper, maybe two of their local sons kind of coming home, because Cam Jordan's father, Steve Jordan, was the Vikings led, and Cam is playing in this game, and he grew up a Vikings fan and learned a lot from watching tape of Vikings defensive linemen. So, you know, I would imagine there's a pretty noticeable buzz downtown for what we hope to be a pretty good Monday night game.
No doubt. And because it is Monday night, it's been a long wait, I think, for the Saints in getting this season going. We'll talk about the short week that's to come. But here, after kind of the long wait, have the Saints talked about the fact that the rhythm has been a little different here in week one for them?
Yeah, you kind of throw everything off. I mean, you get into a certain routine, and you know, in the NFL, especially the vets, they expect to play mostly on Sundays, especially the opening weekend. I don't know when the last time the Saints opened on the Monday night. This might be the first time ever to open on the Monday night and on the road, and so it kind of throws maybe your biorhythms off a little bit. You know, if you're accustomed to playing at noon Central Time, instead you're gonna be kicking off at 6:11 or so Central Time this evening. So that throws them off a little bit, and it gives you a little bit more time to kind of stew on it and chew on it and contemplate what you want to do and how you want to do it. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, you don't want to overthink things, and that certainly is one of the possibilities that can happen when you have that extended amount of time to prepare for an opponent.
John, you cover this team 365 days a year, more intensely so from late July up until now, through training camp, through the preseason games. Is there one thing that you can say with some certainty about this football team? And is there another thing that is just eating at you that you haven't been able to get answered as we finally see a regular season set of quarters here for the Saints?
Well, I think with the Saints, it's, you know, pretty much the familiar thing. What we know, or what we think we know, is that the offense is going to perform. Now, did they perform well in the preseason? No. But that's happened before. And the offense usually gets in sync pretty early. However, we do have to remember and not downplay the absence of Brandon Cooks and what he meant to this offense in terms of, you know, taking the top off defenses and loosening it up and hopefully helping out in these underneath routes. And another loss they have, let's not forget that Willie Snead IV is going to be gone for the first three games. He's the second leading returning receiver on this team. So that's going to put some extra pressure on Michael Thomas, the consensus number one, to be even a little bit better. And hopefully they can get a little bit of extra out of Alvin Kamara, the rookie running back who is as effective as a receiver as a runner, although we mostly saw him as a runner in the preseason. But look, the Saints have two guys that they're going to have run the ball. That's Mark Ingram and Adrian Peterson. So they're not necessarily worried about how much Alvin Kamara is going to run the ball. He'll probably help them more in the passing game. But maybe with Willie Snead out and maybe with Brandon Cooks gone and a new, you know, focus on this offense, maybe they have to run the ball a little bit more to kind of take some pressure off Drew Brees and not have him throw it around 40, 45 times and those kinds of things. The unknown, obviously, again, is the defense. Now, the defense was lights out in the preseason. Top two or three in total defense and scoring defense and run defense and pass defense and tied for number one in sacks with 17. Can that carry over? Or was that a mirage? Was that just a preseason, you know, thing that we saw? Or is that something that's going to roll over into the regular season? And they don't need to be top five defensively from anything we've seen from the Saints. But they do need to be somewhere respectable. They need to finish up, you know, 18th or 19th or 20th and somewhere that. And even more than that, they need to be better at getting off the field on third down. You always hear Sean Payton talking about situational football. That's that 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, and 3rd and 9 that they allow, and they're not able to get off the field. And that's that potential interception that you have a safety or a corner or a linebacker drop. Those are the situations where the Saints have not been taking advantage. They did a little bit better with it in the preseason. Let's see if they can roll over into the regular season.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that is, I think that's as everyone on the edge of their seat down here back home. JD, if you don't mind, can you give us a little primer here for the coverage that folks will find on NewOrleansSaints.com and their Saints app tonight?
Well, we'll be wearing it out on Twitter, and we'll also have some live Facebook preview ahead of the game around 2:30, 3 o'clock or so. So we're going to be going wall-to-wall with it. We'll be, again, live-tweeting during the game. We'll have some post-game coverage from you and myself, obviously, on NewOrleansSaints.com. And then we'll also have some summaries on offense, defense, and special teams on NewOrleansSaints.com before the night is out. So it's going to be a really, really, really busy night for us before we hop on that plane and get back to New Orleans tonight about 2 a.m.
I wouldn't expect anything different, and I know it's been a busy day as well leading up to that busy night. JD, thank you very much. Enjoy, I'm sure, what is fantastic weather and what will be a beautiful facility for tonight's game.
Well, anytime, my friend. Look forward to talking to you a little bit later on today.
We'll look forward to it as well, and hopefully about good news here at the start of the season. That's for sure. John DeShazer, NewOrleansSaints.com, with us from Minneapolis. Saints and Vikings tonight. Hope you enjoyed our game preview today. Kind of fun to do it on this Monday. Not only JD, but Lisa Salters and Ian Eagle, too. That'll do it for us. We'll see you on Wednesday for our next edition of the Black and Blue Report. Of course, plenty of coverage, as John mentioned, on NewOrleansSaints.com. For our producer, Daniel Salerson, I'm Sean Kelly. Have a great rest of your Monday. Enjoy the game day. Who dat? Go Saints.